Hello, welcome to an emergency ATL Charlie Hoops podcast in honor or in memory of Josh Smith, who was released today. I thought it was a joke. I saw it like manually retweeted from Vince Ellis and was like, no.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I was like, no, this can't be real. Someone had a typo or something, or like SVG like waved at Josh Smith in practice or something, and it got out of context.
Yeah, physically just like, bye, Josh. I can't remember ever like a player getting waived with almost $30 million left on their deal. Waived, not amnestied, not like this costs them money. Yeah. And it's just stretch provisioned out. I can't believe it.
I mean, what, they still had, you know, 2.5 years left. That team, I mean, that team's a train wreck. Smoove's been a train wreck. He doesn't even look like he has his bounce that he used to.
No, he looks bad.
Yeah. So, I mean, what else? They were just going to, apparently they turned down a trade in the offseason with the Kings for Landry and Thompson, I think it was.
Yeah.
Which really doesn't. That's not really doesn't do anything for him either.
Wasn't going to help anybody. It's, you know, and SVG said it's about developing the young guys, and that's fine. And I guess this means they're going to move forward with Monroe and Drummond, or try to. I don't know.
Monroe's going to be gone at the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, he took the qualifying.
Right.
So, I mean, he's unrestricted. So, unless they – and it doesn't make sense for them to try to keep him and Drummond. But I guess they're going to – this year they move forward with those two guys, and then they just
–
it's – I'm still baffled by it. You know I still love Josh. Like, I still think there's a place for him in the league. I think there's a use for that kind of guy. I thought $13 million a year was a lot of money for him.
Definitely.
Especially to play the three. It was never going to work when you signed him to play the three.
Never.
No, especially with those guys. Like, he worked at the three sometimes in Atlanta because, you know, we had Al pivoting out, and so he was really a three, but mostly we had him, you know.
And sometimes you had him out there with, like, Zaza, who could still hit, like, you know, an elbow jumper.
Yeah.
Drummond and Monroe, like, aren't even giving you that.
No. And so you put him at the three where he's playing like a real three. Like, when he was with the Hawks and he played the three, I think there was one year he played like 27% of his minutes or something like that, the three, if I remember.
Mm-hmm.
And almost, I would say at least half of those were spent in the post. Like, I remember he used to kill Paul George in the post against Indy, and they used to take advantage of mismatches with him around the basket.
Right.
And the Pistons never tried any of that. And he's still an elite passer for a big man.
Mm-hmm.
I still think there's a lot of ways you can use him. I've tried to detail them before on here and many other places. Like, they used to run that 4-5 pick and roll with Josh and Al, which is something I wish the Hawks would run with Millsap too. And so there's, you know, it'd be interesting to see where he goes.
Apparently the early suitors so far that I've seen are the Kings, the Mavs, and Houston, apparently, have shown interest.
Yep.
The Sixers are the only team that can have room to claim him off waivers, which I don't think they're that serious about tanking.
Well, then, I don't think they're that serious
I think Hinkie has some self-respect. I don't think...
Well, and also, you have to pay him. If you claim him off waivers, you gotta pay him. A healthy amount. So, yeah, I actually kind of like it for the Mavs. We talked on the episode we recorded yesterday about how the Mavs don't exactly have any rim protection off the bench. And, you know, you look at Josh's stats this year, and he's not the rim protector he was, but I think that's as much a product of positioning as anything. It's he's getting taken to the rim and scored on at the rim off the bounce. He's not a help defender on the block where he actually can thrive.
Mm-hmm.
I still think he would be able to do that. if you put him in the right position, you don't have him playing the three, and, you know, you have him play, you know, you play him at the four, and I think there's still plenty of use for him. And definitely, I think yeah. the Mavs could use him. That's, and he'd be with Rondo.
Right. He's apparently buddies with Rondo.
They played way back
then.
Didn't
they both go to,
Or they might have been.
Yeah.
They both played back in the day together, so I remember that was the big talk, like the Celtics might grab him to make Rondo happy a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Mavs are the best fit for Josh, especially just because I think Rick Carlisle is the type of coach that can handle him.
And it's a good, I mean, you won't be asking him to start, essentially. So I think that's a good start. Just kind of like, you know, he's not going to be running anything. He's not going to just be taking possessions away from, like, Dirk and Parsons. He's going to be have his own sort of
work.
And he'll have plenty of people to pass to, too.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's, yeah, I mean, for sure. And they run enough small ball that I think Carlisle would just ask him to play the four. And the thing about Josh is, at least in Atlanta, he used to be comfortable defending centers.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have him at the four and you've got, you know, even if Tyson's not in the game, you know, you can kind of work your way around and Josh can body up bigger guys. He knows how to defend big guys. I haven't seen him have to do it recently. And he's slimmed down some, so you'd think that, you know, he probably needs some time to put a little mass back on. But he knows how to defend those guys. I mean, he used to always be the one charged with defending DeMarcus Cousins and such when Al was out for that year.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a use for him. I think the Mavs are probably the best fit. Mavs fans don't want him because you look at the last 3 years of Josh Smith and he looks toxic.
Right.
I still believe in him just because I probably always will. He's kind of, that's my guy. There's very few guys that I'm like irrationally confident about.
I wouldn't even say last 3 years he's been toxic, even though his last year in Atlanta was a little volatile, maybe. He was still putting up pretty productive numbers.
Yeah.
And he was, that was with Al. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was healthy that year.
You know, he can still be a productive player. I saw Haralabos tweeting about it earlier, and if you put him at the four, he can still be productive. You know, you wonder about him on the Kings, and with that roster, that'd be interesting, to say the least. I think people have this idea that Josh is a bad locker room guy, and maybe he was in Detroit. But in Atlanta, I don't think anybody really disliked him. Like, him and Joe didn't get along towards the end, because Joe's Joe. But Joe doesn't really get along with anybody. Look at him in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's about people. So, Josh and Al were cool. They hung out. Like, I think there's this perception of Josh as he can get whiny, for sure.
Definitely, and
I'm sure that's annoying, but he's not a guy that blows up a locker room.
No, not that. I mean, not from anything that we've seen. We covered him for several years in Atlanta, so.
Well, I guess 2.5 years in Atlanta, and he was never anything but Josh. Like, he was never like super bad. Like, you know, nobody wanted to be around him. He was good with the teammates. He bought everybody iPads 1 year to watch film. And the other thing is, you've heard me tell the story 1,000 times about how he's a smart basketball player. He knows basketball. I still think he's going to be a coach one day. Maybe not a head coach, but I think he can be a good assistant. And so he's just got to.
I think
maybe this helps him refocus.
I think that's the most frustrating part, where we've seen that he's a smart player. He watches a lot of basketball. He's a basketball guy. Like, Josh loves basketball, but then he just, you know, doesn't really show it in the shot selection.
Yeah,
I mean he's shown it in other parts of his game with, like, passing and defense and stuff in the past, but when it comes to shot selection, that was the only thing that kind of just like, wait, is this the same person that had, you know, knows always when to rotate over and when to help back and when everything.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Josh is like us. Like, he's up late watching some league pass. He's up till 1 a.m. firing on Warriors Kings. Like, that's Josh. I think he'd be a good fit for the Mavs. The Rockets are interesting. I think my issue with the Rockets is, like, their entire premise is shooting threes, and, like, that's the one thing you just don't want to give Josh the green light on.
No, no.
Like, I think he needs structure in the point. He needs structure to the point where you're not green lighting him to just fire. That's the problem. When you give him the green light, he will take the green light. Sometimes he'll make the green light happen if you're not strong with him. Like, but if you're positioning him out there, he's told me in the past, he's like, if you put me out there, I'm going to shoot. If you put me on the block, I'm going to play on the block. Josh will do what you ask him to, but you better be careful what you're asking him to do. He's not going to pump and drive.
No.
That's just not his game. He's not Al. He doesn't pump and drive. He pumps and sidesteps. He thinks he's a guard when he's out there. That's why he plays. And he knows it, but that's just his mindset is, if you put me out here and you position me to play the three or even the stretch four and space the floor, I'm going to space the floor and take those shots because those are the shots you take when you want to space the floor. Like I say, he knows basketball. Mm-hmm. He knows those are the shots you're supposed to take if you put him in that position, but it's just not...
He just can't make those shots.
Right. He just can't make them. So don't put him in that position. And I think the Mavs would do a better job of working him and other stuff just because I trust Rick Carlisle as a coach more than I trust Kevin McHale.
Also, I don't know how that'll work with... I mean, him and Dwight, I know they're friends too, but still, I mean, that...
They're friends, but they never wanted to play together.
Yeah, but that's the same thing. You're essentially telling them, okay, you have to go out there and shoot threes because you can't. Otherwise, you're running into the same problem you had in Detroit where you're putting them right next to a center that can't shoot.
Right. And they don't run I think it would work better just because Dwight's a pretty good pick-and-roll guy, so sometimes he's roaming at the top for those pick-and-rolls, so I think you can make the spacing work.
That's the same concept same with Tyson, too.
Yeah, 100% with Tyson. I mean, he's rolling through the hoop, so all of a sudden you got Josh flat on that baseline, ready for the extra pass. So, like I said, I think the Mavs are, you know, the Kings probably are going to try to go after him, just because, for whatever reason, that seems to be Vivek's guy. He wanted him this summer. Mm-hmm. As we've seen, Vivek does what he wants, and... I think for Josh, it would be smarter. I mean, you're going to get paid. You're getting paid. You're getting money for the next, like, 8 years. You're getting paid $5 million a year. Financial security is pretty well set for a little while. Go to the team that's going to be the best fit for you. Don't worry about your role. Like, if I could just give Josh, don't worry about, you know, okay, what's my role going to be? You'll make yourself a lot more money in the future if you show that you can accept a smaller role.
Another thing that's interesting, people, you know, want him to go to the Spurs a lot because of the structure and system and success they've had there. You know, I used to think that too, but I'm not sure, like, if Josh can work with the Spurs. I'm not saying Popovich can't, you know. I mean, I don't know if he fits on that team anymore. I feel like when he was a little more athletic, had more bounce in him, he'd fit. But now he's kind of lost a step. We've seen it. He can't really finish at the rim anymore, and that's the bigger deal this season than in the past. Even though he's shooting jumpers, he could get away with it, sort of, if he was finishing at the rim. This year, he's missing a ton at the rim.
Right.
So, I mean, he's not even giving you that. So,
which I think that is as much mental as anything. I think Josh is relatively fragile when it comes to the mental state he can get. We used to see him mentally check out for one game. This year, it looked like he just mentally checked out for the season. He had that same look in his eyes at tip. I used to be able to tell at tip within the first 2 minutes of the game what Josh we were getting. Some years it would only happen like 15 games out of the year, others maybe 30, but this year it's every game you look at him and he's just got like a glazed over look. You can tell by what he's doing defensively if he's reaching a lot. Josh knows he doesn't need to reach. He knows to move his feet, but if he's kind of standing there reaching, swiping at the ball, and that's him all season this year. And I think a lot of it's because he knows he shouldn't be out there. Josh does know he shouldn't be out there.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where they keep putting him, so he's going to play there.
Yeah, I mean, so.
So he's just checked out. Maybe this wakes him up, or it could send him spiraling out. I don't know. I hope not.
So, Robbie, are there any more teams other than the ones interested in where you think you would be a pretty decent fit? I mean, we've mentioned those three, and then the Spurs, I said, I don't think would be. I'm not sure about them, but.
I think Washington, next to the name.
That's interesting. I haven't thought about that one yet.
Pick and rolls with John Wall. Working high-low stuff with Nene. He gives him some depth alongside Serafin and Booker and those guys, and
puts him on a winning situation where he will be invested. I think that's also going to be part of it. He's going to want to be in a place where he's going to be invested in winning.
Yeah, I think that's why I don't like Sacramento as a fit. Because he cares, and so if he doesn't have anything to play for, he just doesn't play. And that's what we've seen. I think Washington would be a good fit for him. I don't think him and Whitman would work great, but just from a pure roster perspective, but nobody works well with Whitman because he's a miserable coach. I think Washington's a fit on the floor with what he can do. They have shooters around that he wouldn't be asked to be a shooter.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the thing. You look at a lot of these teams, and like that's my worry with Sacramento is, who are their shooters that are keeping him from shooting? You have Rudy. And exactly.
Rudy.
Like, Darren Collison not keeping him from shooting shots. You know, Dallas has some shooters, and I think they have a coach that can work with them. I mean, that's the thing with the Pistons. Pistons' best shooter is, like, KCP, and he doesn't even shoot well.
Right.
Jody Meeks hurt, right?
I think something so. Like, I don't even know. Has he played this year yet?
So it's like, Brandon Jennings, sure. So you have Brandon Jennings, and then what? Like, you need guys around him that he can accept a role on the block.
What about a Mike Woodson, reuniting with Mike Woodson in L.A. with the Clippers?
The Clippers would be interesting. I mean, they desperately need big man depth.
Right.
They're playing big baby minute. Any amount of minutes is too much for big baby. I think the Clippers work. I think that's an interesting fit.
I know as much as people have hated on Woodson, Josh had his best year in Woodson's last year in Atlanta. Woodson had reined him in a little bit, even though they constantly butted heads, but it was working.
Yeah. So. You know, I don't know what that relationship is like anymore. I know Josh and LD had a pretty good relationship, but I don't see the Cavs throwing stuff at Josh on that. The Cavs would be interesting, I must say. Josh off the bench for the Cavs. Super interesting. I don't think they have any money. But just, like, throwing all other scenarios away, like, just looking at pure from a roster standpoint, they need defense.
Mm-hmm.
They need somebody on the block that can defend. And I still think Josh can be a pretty solid post defender. But, yeah, I think the Clippers would be interesting, not just for the Woody aspect of it, but...
For the actual they have no depth aspect.
Yeah, for the fact that he's a fit in what they actually probably need.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they would allow him to play that role that he should play. Although they don't have a ton of shooting, but they've got Redick and those guys.
CP3 can shoot.
Yeah. And Josh has never really played with a good point guard.
No.
Yeah. He played with Jeff before Jeff learned how to play point guard. He played with Bibby. He played with Kirk Heinrich.
We played with the corpse of Mike Bibby. He didn't even get, you know.
Yeah, well, there were a few years he had. Like 08, Bibby was, you know, decent.
Heinrich.
But yeah, I'd be really interested to see Josh play. That's kind of why I like the Mavs. That's why I like the Mavs, the Wizards, the Clippers, like, he'd play with a Rondo or a CP3 or a John Wall, somebody who he could actually play pick and roll with. Jeff couldn't run the pick and roll until, like, 2011.
Mm-hmm.
Could not do it. Did not know timing at all.
Thanks, Bibby.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because he learned how to play from Jamal Crawford. If you ask Jeff, literally, he'll be like, if you ask him about Bibby, he'll just be like, what? He's like, Mike didn't talk to me. He learned everything he learned from Jamal Crawford, which might not be the best for a point guard. I love Jamal, but
yeah.
That might be your best teaching tool for point guard skills.
And if your best teaching skill for two-for-ones was Jamal Crawford, you might be onto something, but
yeah.
But point guard skills, not a fan of that. So what do you think? What do you think's the best case scenario, or not necessarily best case scenario? But what do you think happens here with Josh by the end of the year? Where is Josh, and is he having any sort of success?
Yes, if he doesn't go to Sacramento. I don't think mentally Sacramento is the place that will be able to motivate him. I think, honestly, anywhere else, you know, on a decent contender-type team, playoff-type team, he'll contribute, he'll be fine. Also, Josh likes to hold grudges with everyone, media, other players, coaches. So, I think you get full FU Josh if you put him on the contender, wanting to prove that he can do it.
I think he'll have some. I'm not sure. He's not going to be 2009, 2010 Josh Smith, you know,
yeah.
Defensive Player of the Year candidate.
But you put him on a team where he can be a pretty much a role guy, role player. He's never going to be the second best player on a team anymore. Put him on a team where he can be a role player.
Yeah, put him on a team where he can play 20, 25 minutes. You know, he'll at least give all his effort on defense. If that's all you get out of him.
Yeah.
Like you said, give him a point guard that, you know, knows how to get him the ball in situations where he'll be successful.
A point guard that's not just going to feed him shit shots. Here's the thing. I think this is part of the reason I think Rondo would be great for him. I think Rondo would tell Josh not to stand outside the three-point line. I think Rondo's smart enough not to make that pass.
I think Rondo also might have the personal rapport with him to tell him, I'm not giving you that pass.
Right, and same with Chris Paul. I mean, that's the thing. Josh has never played with another player he's respected enough to let them tell him anything. Ever. He was older than Al. Al was always his rookie. Jeff, they called Jeff rookie until Jeff was like 5 years in the league. There wasn't a whole lot of respect there. You know, him and Joe, Joe wasn't going to tell anybody anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then he goes to Detroit and he's kind of the vet there, which was a problem. So maybe you send him to somewhere where he plays with a Chris Paul who's not going to take that. And maybe it works. I mean, you still... Maybe they clash and it doesn't work. That's definitely a possibility. Josh just maybe doesn't want to hear it from anybody.
I'd almost think, too, with the Clippers, they're almost in a point where they might have to take that risk.
If they want to contend,
yeah,
they got to get some.
I think they're at sixth in the West,
yeah.
Which isn't bad at all, but I don't know if,
OKC's going to be coming
for
that spot. They've been playing better, but not great.
San Antonio's behind them, too, so it's not exactly a good omen for the Clippers.
Yeah, that's scary. So, I like it. I think Clippers, Dallas, and kind of distant third would be Washington off the radar. I just don't like Houston as a fit from a coaching fit perspective for Josh.
Anything else, Robbie?
Get that money, Smooth.
Yeah. I mean, he's getting it. He's getting it for...
This is a dream. He's living the ultimate dream. Getting paid to not be somewhere. And not be in Detroit. That's a super big win.
I think so.
You're getting paid not to be in Detroit. Most people pay to not be in Detroit. That's why they live elsewhere.
I can't remember who tweeted it, but Josh Smith getting paid millions to leave Detroit was the original ending to 8 Mile.
Perfect. All right, we'll end on that. Thanks for joining us for the quick emergency Josh Smith has been waived podcast. We will be back next time with regular scheduled programming.